Jo. Well, I do want to take this time out and just thank the Lord for all the mothers that are, and thank the Lord for the ones that puts the Lord first. And I know the Lord will be with them and everything, so, but I do thank you from the bottom of my heart, because you want to tell you what? If it wasn't for the mothers, where would we be? And if it wasn't for the ladies, where would the church be? You'd have more churches closed than you would have even thinking about opening. Because the ladies is the one that keeps the doors open. And I got a real good formulas for that. And the reason he does, the reason they are here, is because they're not lazy. And they want to see the Lord to work in the families. And two on top of that, you know, hey, God took the very best from us. I know God created man first, but that won't it. I thank the Lord for him and saying, I know that you ain't going to be able to do anything. I know that you ain't going to do no complain all the time. You're going to go out here and go to work, and you ain't got time to come home and fix supper and clean the house and wash dishes and all that. So I'm going to take the very best thing that you have, and I'm going to take one of your ribs, and I'm going to take the rib that gives you strength, and I'm going to take that rib and I'm going to make woman. Have you ever thought about where the word woman came from? And I don't like to really use woman. I like to use ladies, especially to a Christian. But where the word woman come from was in the book of Genesis. And it came from Adam. Came from Adam. Adam was a man. So God says, I think I need to create somebody that's willing to help him. So that's when he created woman. The wound that was in his side, he took out that rib. Wound. The wound of the man created woman. I thank the Lord for him today. I tell you what, if it weren't for the ladies, if it weren't for the individuals here in this church, we just have closed doors. Because the men, you know, we don't have enough men today that will even come and support the church. Much less try to keep the lights on and everything else. But I do thank you. I know I may not tell you that often, but I do thank each and every one of you. And I love you for your time and your prayers. So, Brother Bill, you got your job set out for you. Next month. You ought to know Bill. By now, Brother Bill, I always got something I want to say. But I want to speak to this, I want to speak on this subject today. The individual's mother, the individual's true mother. And we see that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. And it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The mother of Jesus. Look what she was willing to give up. She was willing to give up her own son to where mankind that had beat him and everything. But the mother of Jesus. It says in verse 16, it says, men and brethren, the scripture must need have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Judas right here, the Lord Jesus Christ, he chose Judas. He chose his 12 disciples. And no doubt his mother knew the disciples, and she knew them real well. And she had heard some gossip. She had heard some individuals talking about her son. But her son did not let that bother him. Just like us today, we should not allow what other people say bother us. Because if we do, we'll have much sorrow and anguish within us that we will quit doing something special for the Lord. We as a Christian, if you live close enough to God, you're going to do things special for the Lord. It just comes natural to you. Just comes natural to you. But we also see in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, it is speaking about, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here was a mother right here. This mother had a son. He was lost. But she was willing to do what she could to get her son to realize that without the Savior, without the Lord Jesus Christ, he had nothing. He had nothing to do with anything. But even though the Lord Jesus Christ had done so much for his mother, he looked after his mother. He looked after her to the point that when she was in pain, she was there for him. We need to have our children there for us when we are in pain. What kind of pain am I speaking about? The pain of sorrow for children. They do not look at us and say, well, I love my mother so much that I'm willing to do what I can. I'm willing to go. We need to realize too that we worry about our children to the point that we want them in church because we know that's where safety starts at, is in church. Because we know where there's not going to be no harm that's going to come to them in church. We can also see the mother and her report that she gives back to her family and to her church. And she says, pray for my children. Pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. Pray that God will keep them out of harm's way. We need to also realize too, not only that, that the mother has great wisdom. We know that Solomon was blessed with wisdom. But I believe the mother is also blessed with wisdom too. If they would just want to heed the Holy Spirit. Now we cannot, you know yourself, we cannot do nothing without someone's help. Right? We can't do anything to help our family members without help. We have got to have help. We have got to have help through prayer. And we got to come to Him in prayer and calling out the individual's names. I'm not here to put anybody down. I'm not here to look at anybody and say, well, they don't come to church and all of this. What my purpose is, what my longing is that I, myself, want to share what peace and what joy that I have. I want to share it with them. And if I can share a little joy and peace with them, and they can understand where the joy comes from and where the peace comes from, what is that? What else is it there? Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we got to go out here and work. We got to go out here and we got to work. We got to pay bills and stuff like that. Everybody has to do that. It's even in the Bible, it teaches us that. Where the individuals went out here and they worked for a day's wages for 1 cent. Then at noonday, he went back into the city looking for some more help. He got some more help. What did they end up getting? the same wage. Why? Because they went and they worked for it. If we need to go out here and we need to realize that we have to work. And when we work, that helps us to be disciplined. That helps us to be more in tune with what God wants us to do. That's just like I don't know, I may say it Wednesday night or whenever. But just because I'm a pastor here at Faith Baptist Church, that does not give me the right not to go out here and visit. Because I have so much more on me that I have to pray and I have to study. No, because why? Because I first became a Christian. And that is one of the first things a Christian's duty is to give out the gospel to the whosoever will. So that's a duty that I have to fulfill. I have to fulfill it. Because if I don't fulfill that duty, then I'm not fulfilling any of my duties. We've got to realize that we cherish our children. And we cherish our children. We don't want no harm to come to them. How many of you would raise your hand and say, well, my child, you know, they don't heed anything I say, and they don't come to church, something like that. So, you know, heck with them, you know, huh? If this comes on them or that comes on them or whatever. No. We don't want no harm to come to them. Why? It's just like Jesus. Mary, his mother, didn't want any harm to come upon him. That's the reason that he was sitting. He was bowing down at the foot of the cross where he was hanging there. Why was she bowing down? Because her darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was hanging there on that cross. And she wanted to make sure that no other harm was going to come to him. But she knew that he had to fulfill the Father's purpose. The Lord knew that. The Lord said, Father, pass this cup from me. Father, will your will be done? You'll never find it in Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ, which is still God the Father, and he was God-man, that he ever come down and he ever said, my will be done. Now, always talking about the Father. For the Father's will to be done. Why? Because he cherished his Father. Not only did he cherish his Father, I think he cherished his mother also. But he is the only individual that has a heavenly Father but doesn't have a heavenly mother. He is also the individual that has a earthly mother, but no earthly father. So he can cherish his mother. He can cherish the Father. He loves the Father with all his heart. He loves his mother with all her heart. I love my mother today with all my heart. I really do. And my prayer is that the Lord's going to come back and take us all home together. To where we won't have to even come into this place. We won't have to come into the come in these doors anymore and turn the lights on. We will not have to come here. Why? Because we're going to be there where the light shines brightly. It illuminates. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. He's the light of my life. He is the breath of my life. He is the one that sustains me. He's the one that gives me strength. He's the one that allows me to continue to walk, even though sometimes I stumble and sometimes I will fall. But He still gives me the strength to be able to do something for Him. Myself. I don't want nobody in here to take this the wrong way. But I would love for each one of the family members that's here today, I would love for the children that's not in church to come to church. I'd love for them to come down here. I really would, and you would. I just want them to get into church, in a Bible-believing church, a Bible-preaching church, a church that believes in eternal security, once saved, always saved. And they're not saved by no baptism. They're not saved by joining the local church. That they're saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would love to see that. And I'm not looking at that as a number. Which, yeah, I mean, naturally the church would grow that way. But how many of them are I here that claims to be a Christian but there's no Christian values. There's no Christian emphasis. You know, they can come around, they can say, well, I love you, Mama. I love you, Daddy. But can Mama and Daddy tell each one whether child is at every very moment of every day? I mean, it's hard for us to keep in touch with our children. It's hard. But at least if they're in church and they're getting the Word of God, if they are living by God's standards, then we may know. We may not know exactly where they're at, but we know where they're not at. That's what we need today. We need to have people. We need to have men and ladies in the church. We need to have them, the mothers and the fathers in the church, that will come forth Sunday after Sunday and bear on an old-fashioned altar and allow them tears to come from the eyes for the children. And if your family, if all your children are in church, and if they, you know where they're all at and everything today, like you know they're in church somewhere,
But I'm going to ask you this. Is there anybody else in your family that needs to be prayed for? Is there anybody else in my family that I need to pray for besides my daughter, which I know where she's at right now. She's at church. But I got a brother. He's lost. There's no way under the sun he can tell me he's saved, he's a Christian. Because of the life that he lives. I just do not believe that if an individual that says that they know when they got saved and know in their heart that they got saved and they could call themselves a Christian. I just don't believe that where God will continue to allow them to continue on with the lifestyle that they're going, because every day that they go in that lifestyle, they belittling God. They're belittling Him. What does God say in the book of Hebrews? What does Paul say in the book of Hebrews? Chapter 12, I think it is. I'm going to turn right there. And I want y'all to turn there too. Because I want y'all to read it with me as I read it. It's Hebrews chapter 12. I believe it is. And this is Paul speaking. But he's speaking because of what the Holy Spirit has given him to speak about. Let's start with verse 12 in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before me endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endureth such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be worn and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have gotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourged every son whom he received. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as we're sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Verse number 8. But if ye be without chastisement, but if ye be without correction from the Lord Jesus Christ, whereof all are partakers, they're all partakers of the sin. But it says down here, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore we have had the father of our flesh, which correcteth us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and lives? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out other way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springeth up, troubled you, and thereby may be defiled. See right here where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and we also see a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But this is Paul writing. Says up in the very first verse, are compassed about with so many cloud of witnesses. So many cloud of witnesses. My grandmother that's there in heaven, she is looking over the banners of heaven on my life and seeing what I'm doing. My stepfather, he's there in heaven looking up the rail that is there in heaven. And he's looking down straight and he sees me and he sees my walk. He hears my talk. They know my thoughts. I don't need to let them down. I don't need to let them down. And most of all, I don't need to let the Lord Jesus Christ down. But I do. Every day I let him down
Why? Because I can't. Because I don't do exactly what he wants me to do. I don't go out here and talk to someone. I don't tell somebody, well, you know, you say that you're a Christian, but you're going to stay home and you're going to watch TV. No, what I need to tell them is, well, I'm sorry, but my Bible, the same book that I hope that you're reading, or if you read one, I don't know if you do or not, but my book says you ain't saved. Because I honestly believe within your heart of hearts, within their heart of hearts, if they're saved by the blood of Jesus, they're going to want to be here. They're going to want to be in the house of God somewhere. And then if a preacher's not preaching the truth, the preacher just up there preaching something watered down and everything, and not preaching about hell, and not preaching about this and that and everything, then they will also know that. And they will also, but I hear this all the time. Well, you know, my grandmother, she grew up in a church. My daughter did. My children, they grew up in church. Where are they? If you grew up in church, where are they? Where are they? I love people too much. I love families too much to give up. And I know that what I'm saying right now is not popular. It's not popular to the parents. It's not. But I don't know any other way to put it. And I thank the Lord every day. See, I didn't grow up in church. My mother, she took us sometime to Sunday school, but that was about it. And she really never did teach us anything about how to live for the Lord. If we got into that, we had to get it from the Sunday school teacher. That should not come from the Sunday school teacher. It should come from the parents. It should come from the mother. It should come from the father. Why? Because they have the best interest at hand. My daughter, nobody else wants my daughter to succeed in this and that that what she's trying to succeed in but me. It's the same way with you. It's the same way with all the other mothers and the fathers I hear. They don't know the children like we do. Like we know our own children. Yes, at times our children, they're hurting. Yes, they will shed a tear. But I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to leave this with you. How many tears have you really shed? No doubt each and every one of you shed tears over your children. But how many has really, really thought about coming to the front of the church and shedding a tear for the family. Hey, my wife don't know it, my daughter don't know it, but I do shed tears. Not only for my daughter, not only for my wife, but I shed tears for Faith Baptist Church. I shed tears for you and your family because I want you and your family to be prosperous. I want y'all to be happy. And how does a family end up being happy? Where they can join together and rejoice. And rejoice and rejoice. I thank the Lord for Faith Baptist Church. I thank the Lord for you that are here, that y'all was willing to give me an opportunity. And I do the very best that I can. But I do thank you. Because see, it's more than just God's in it. God's in it. I know the Lord led me here. I don't have no doubt about that. But see, you also led me here too. That's when you bound together. That's when you knit together. That's when you come in unity. And you're in unity. And you are so close, knitted together. Like this fabric right here is. That where I can't see through it. I can't see through that fabric. But I can see how it's woven. Just like Faith Baptist Church is a family. We're woven together for one cause. One cause. Because it's going to be, and it's not going to be all that long before the Lord's going to return. Oh, preacher, I've heard it all my life. I have too. I heard it before I got saved. I've heard it now going on almost 36 years. But guess what? It's closer to today than what it was yesterday. Today is the day of salvation for all the people. Need to just come and thank the Lord for what He has done for them. And not only that, we need to pray for a family. We need to pray for children. Not just our children, we need to pray for all the children. Because they're going through some things today that I didn't have to go through. That I did not even have to face, even when I was lost. I didn't have the peer pressure like they got today. And it ain't just the children that has the peer pressure. The peer pressure falls down upon the parents also. It falls on their mother. It falls on the father. The peer pressure is there. It don't want us to succeed. Why? They don't like nothing we do. The peer pressure doesn't come from one individual. In His name is Lucifer.
His name is Satan. His name is the devil. His name, he's the father of all lies. He does not appreciate you. He hates and he despises you, but he won't let you know that. Because he puts everything I hear in the front of you. Watch this. Thank you, Lord. Did you realize the devil can ask us to do things to get his job accomplished? And we could think it's coming from God. We think it was coming from God, but it's not coming from God. It's coming from Satan, the father of all lies. I want to do everything I can. He's not welcome here. He's not welcome anywhere on this property. He's not welcome here. And if we don't watch it, we will invite him. And thinking that the whole time we're inviting the Lord. But we must be mindful. That it's Lucifer that we are inviting. Why are you calling him Lucifer? Because that's what God called him. Even the Son of God's called him Lucifer. But his name is really mentioned more times in the Bible as Satan. The destroyer. He don't like us. He don't like me. He despises me. He just soon for somebody to come busting in the door. Taking a .345 and pointing at me and shooting me dead. That's what he wants. He wants the same thing for you. I'm so thankful that I have my protector. And I know that sometimes things does come about that we don't have no control over. We don't have no control over. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I pray. And I lift each and every one of these mothers up to you today. Because, Father, I know the mothers, they have a heart. Because, Father, it was not just their heart beating. But when they was carrying thy child, they also had the heartbeat of the child beating within their womb, Father. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you may just help them day by day. God, help them that they can be that mother that can be to their children like the mother of Jesus. They will not feel no sorrow. They will not feel no disappointment. And the reason that they won't feel no disappointment is because they're coming and every week and they're praying. They're praying. The tears are dropping from the eyes upon the pews, upon the church here. So, Father, we pray Oh, God, help them today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.